WXCO 1230 AM, W255 DN Wausau, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is the CBS News World News Roundup Late Edition, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Cammie McCormick. President Trump today ratcheted up the pressure on Venezuela over drug trafficking and other issues.
We've almost totally stopped it by sea. Now we'll stop it by land.
What's the next step?
But it never worked. It never worked when you did it in a very politically correct manner.
CBS's Ed O'Keefe on what that may mean.
There's no evidence as of now that there are plans for land operations. We do know, though, that the deployment of at least 6,000 U.S. forces across the Caribbean Sea area and the operations that have been carried out in recent weeks to take out those alleged boats, drug boats, are significant, certainly for this region of the world, and suggest there could be more to come.
And the president has authorized covert CIA activities in Venezuela. Analyst Steve Elner.
I wonder to what extent this news item was intentional, that the Trump administration is just upping the pressure on Venezuela, because undoubtedly the United States has CIA agents all over the world and probably in Venezuela.
Hamas turned over the remains of two more hostages today, but said that's all it can reach. A senior U.S. official insists no one will be left behind. President Trump was asked about it.
What is your understanding of the pace of returning the deceased hostages? Are you pleased?
Well, they're looking for them. Absolutely. They're looking. So we have the living hostages all back. They returned some more today. It's a gruesome process. I almost hate to talk about it, but they're digging.
The remains of 9 hostages have been returned to Israel out of 28. A federal judge has blocked the Trump administration from firing workers during the shutdown. They're still not receiving pay. And Pat Vitale reports from Detroit, local businesses are stepping up.
The Anchor Bar is offering free meals to federal employees during the government shutdown. Owner Nabi Ayad tells me it's about taking care of the people caught in the middle of all the politics.
We just felt it was prudent to help them out during these challenging times.
Ayad says the free meals will go through the duration of the government shutdown, which is now in its 15th day.
Matt Piper reports on an unusual recall.
Ben's Original is recalling a number of rice products due to the possible presence of small stones in the rice. The FDA says the stones are naturally occurring and originate from the rice farm, but that they pose possible risk of oral or digestive tract injury if eaten. The recall includes Ben's White, Brown, and Wild rice packs with best buy dates of August 2026. The products were sold at places like Target, United Markets, Amazon, and more.
On Wall Street today, stocks finished mixed. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
You're listening to 98.9 WXCO, Wausau's home for Matinee on Air, weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m. Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Dan Hagen, you were out hunting. How did that go?
This buck is eluding me, so I'm just trying new things. I bought designated hunting clothes that I'm going to wash with special detergent that has no scent on it.
People get into the scent, and there's all kinds of things people try to do. I don't know that the science is conclusive. Otherwise, everybody would have success every time. You got to try what you can try, right?
That's spending money for no real reason, probably, at the end of the day.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Where working people come to talk. It's the Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join me for an honest approach to the issues American working families care about. No talking points, no focus groups. Get ready for a heavy dose of democracy, fairness, grit, and no apologies. It's current affairs from a working-class labor perspective. Facts are center, science is real, and everyone gets a seat at the table. The Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Drivers, Austin Cindric here. As a NASCAR Cup Series driver of the number 2 Discount Tire Ford Mustang, there's a few rules of the road I like to tell my family and friends. Tire pressure is critical to safety because underinflated tires are more likely to fail. Plus, properly inflated tires will give you better gas mileage. Make sure to check your tire pressure at least once a month or stop by a local tire retailer for an air check.
A message from the U.S. Tire Manufacturers Association.
We
are the National Park Foundation. And together with you, we're creating a future where every person, every generation, gets their chance at an unforgettable moment. Learn more at nationalparks.org/foundation.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
98.9 WXCO, Wausau's real news and great conversation, and home to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
98.9 WXCO, Wausau's real news and great conversation.
And home to Matt and Air on Air, weekday mornings from 9 to 11.
98.9 WXCO, Wausau's real news and great conversation.
And home to Matt and Air on Air, weekday mornings from 9 to 11.
You're listening to 98.9 WXCO, Wausau's home for Matt and Air on Air, weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m.
And good evening and welcome to another edition of the Big High School Sports Show on 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app and also at YouTube.com on the 98.9 WXCO channel. I am Chad Holmes, and across the way is the former head football coach at Wausau West High School, Jason Foster. Good to have you back.
Good to be back, yeah.
It's a great time to be back because there's a lot going on. Again, I hate saying this, but it's like, can't believe it's already week 9 of the regular season for the 11-player. Playoffs getting underway for 8-player. We're getting down to the nub here for the football season.
Yeah, definitely. It's kind of nice for the 8-man to be kind of starting, and I just found out tonight from you that all the games are on Saturday.
So it's a spotlight. Actually, that's a nice thing to have everybody focus on Saturday on the 8-player, because who wants to watch Wisconsin play Ohio State anyway? So
not me.
So there you go. So yeah, it's interesting, and I didn't know it myself until last Saturday when the brackets came out that the game's being on Saturday. I thought, fantastic, I get two games this week.
Yeah. And what a, like you said, the time has flown by. Here we are, week 9 already for the 11-man teams, and still some conference titles up in the air and big games in week 9. So kind of exciting things to talk about tonight.
And we got a couple of great guests coming up, as we'll be joined by the head football coach of DC Everest High School, Braden Mitchell, who clinched at least a share of the conference championship last week. So Braden Mitchell will be with us at the bottom of the hour at 6:30. And then coming up at 7:06, we'll be talking to a guy that Coach Foster knows, so over from Wausau West, Cooper DePoint. And he had himself a monster game with more than 260 yards rushing last week in their win over Eau Claire Memorial. So that's Braden Mitchell coming up at 6:30, Cooper DePoint at 7:06, our guests here tonight. Well, let's talk about what happened last week, week number 8, starting in the Valley, talking about the DC Everest Evergreens. They defeated Stevens Point 28-13. Game was played at Gerke Field in Stevens Point. Ty Rohde, 11 of 16 for 206 yards and a touchdown. Xavier Edwards, a big night, 5 catches, 104 yards. Trent Breitbach, again, had a good evening for Stevens Point, 183 yards passing, 89 yards rushing. But before our game last week, I was getting ready to go on. We were talking, and I said, what did I say last week?
You said you thought Spash was going to run away with this
one. No, that's not what I said.
you thought Spash was going to get this one,
I thought Stevens Point was going to win that football game. And maybe it's because DC Everest had such a hard time 2 weeks ago against Chippewa Falls, and I thought that Stevens Point had, with Breitbach, the capability. But have to give a lot of credit to DC Everest, not only to win, but to win in a significant way and also do it a little differently, because it was not Corbin Enzenroth this time around. He did not have 100 yards for the first time in a while. It was the sophomore quarterback, Ty Rohde. It was Xavier Edwards. And again, that's a sign of a good team where they did it in a different way in a big game.
Yeah, I think the thing that definitely sticks out to me when I look at this stat line is Ty Rohde, right? This is far and away his best output of the year. Obviously, we've known. I think he was our first guest of the year. We know what Xavier Edwards is capable of. He's kind of had those 2, 3, 4 catches a game, always kind of found a way to get that one touchdown, long one. But this was kind of the, what we expected. We know we had the injury early in the year at quarterback, and that's what brought Ty Rohde in. But what a great time of year to be finding this part of your game and the ability to pass the football, knowing you have an incredible running game and have been super solid all year. So really good win for them, and definitely essentially for a conference championship to have that sort of performance. That's good news for the Evergreens.
And also the bounce back factor. I always assume that's something that's kind of stands out, because frankly, 2 weeks ago, I was very surprised that Chippewa Falls went into steam and was able to win by 21 points. As a former coach in those situations, the following week against a really good team, a rival game, a conference championship game, you know, that's not an easy thing to rebuild your team to get ready for. So I was very impressed with that.
Yeah, especially, I mean, losing to Chippewa Falls at home in front of your
a huge
crowd that night. I saw a lot of pictures from that one. So, yeah, I think winning it is huge. The added pressure of being conference championship on the line was huge. And then also their ability to go and throw the football and kind of make that statement win after the tough loss week before. All really good signs for DC Evers. I think those three losses overall is probably going to hurt them when it comes to seeding at the end of the day. But a really good position for them to be in as they finish the season.
You know who's in second place now in the Wisconsin Valley Conference?
I do.
How about that? The Marshfield Tigers. And I tell you, I mean, it's like Denny Gato must have a second job as a magician here, because they're 4-1 in the conference, 4-4 overall. They had a game last week against Eau Claire North. In fact, North had the lead late, but Marshfield got a late field goal and then added a touchdown on a fumble recovery on the last play of the game to win 43-35. And Hayden Carlson, their running back, and saw him 2 weeks ago against West, a very, very impressive performance. And he had a really big night, 257 yards on 27 carries, 4 touchdowns. I don't know how to feel about Marshfield. I give them great credit because, again, this year they started off with such a tough schedule and a 0-3 start, and it was just really difficult. But they're not exactly blowing away some of these teams at the bottom of the league either. So
No, at the end of the day, I think when we talk about the conference as a whole, right, and who's kind of at the top, the middle, and the bottom, and I don't think there's that much disparity this year other than from the top, where the Evergreens have kind of taken it and run away with it a little bit from a conference standpoint. I think we see the disparity on the other side, right? I feel like when you talk about the Evergreens losing to Chippewa Falls, then Chippewa Falls sits near the bottom of that side of the conference. I think that Marshfield's going to have a tough road ahead of them as well, because the seeding they're going to get in that D2 sectional is going to be as tough as any of the seeds that these D1 schools in the Valley are going to get too. I think at the end of the day, when all is said and done, I think that's what it looked like. The playoffs will tell the tale for sure when we get there. But I think overall, the comment would probably be made that the east side of this conference is probably a step behind the western teams this season.
And Marshfield actually 23rd of the 32 right now in D2, but they have an opportunity if they win this week to move up, because they do face a team that has 5 wins in Stevens Point.
That would be a great win for them for sure.
Wausau West got a playoff clinching win last week, 49-14 over Eau Claire Memorial, a game that we had right here on 98.9 WXCO. Warriors 5-3 overall, 4-2 in the conference. Our player guest coming up, Cooper DePoit, rushed for a career high 264 yards on 26 carries with 2 touchdowns. Shay Jones does what he does. He catches touchdowns. He had 2 catches, both for touchdowns, 73 yards total. And it was actually a Memorial led 7-0 after 1, but then the Warriors had 21 points in the second quarter and just kept on pounding the football. And one of the interesting things, and I think you're as good as anybody to talk about, is that Wausau West went back to a look that we've seen in the past. A lot more under center, a lot more power football. you were on the sidelines for many of the great running backs that Wausau West has had in the past decade, and it was a bit of a throwback for West offensively.
Yeah, it sure was, and it kind of a throwback to just within the last few years, right, when we've kind of been able to lean heavy on that run game and have a back. I think we'll talk obviously a lot more about Cooper when he's here later, but I think one of the biggest revelations for this team or this offense has been Cooper DePoyt. He kind of, as everyone knows, he's a really good hockey player and kind of was focusing on that to start the season and came out a little late. We all know what Cooper's capable of as a football player.
He was the leading rusher last year.
Right, and last year at this time, he was pretty banged up.
Yes,
and it was tough. He kept trying to go, but he was really banged up. So obviously, there's some games earlier we'd have loved to have him for, and certainly could have made a difference. But I would say in this regard, I think one of the reasons Cooper's able to do what he's doing is he is healthy. His body's fresh, and it was really nice to see those piles going forward and kind of finding those holes and those openings, and then getting those extra yards at the end of those runs and being able to pop one off here and there too.
Absolutely. And Wisconsin Rapids still looking for that first win. They fell to New Richmond 49-14. New Richmond 6-2 from the Big Rivers. It was actually 14-14 after the first quarter, but then New Richmond was able to pull away. Sawyer Brooks, 98 yards on 12 carries, both touchdowns for Rapids. And again, we talked to Mike Krenz first week of the year, I think it was. First show, Mike Krenz was with us, and I think he knew that it was going to be a process. And this is still a team that is better now than it was at the start of the year.
Oh, for sure. And I think even you look at these scores, New Richmond's a really good football team and probably going to have a lot of postseason success.
And again, we talk so often about how much schedule goes into the year.
Oh, for sure.
I mean, their schedule, the non-conference games, have been against all really good football teams.
Absolutely. The fact that they were 14-14 after one, I mean, didn't score any more points after that, but it tells me those kids were ready to play when they got on the field Friday night, and I think that's a nice step forward for coach. I think the week before they were up on Marshfield as well, Rapids was. Yeah. So they're definitely showing some signs of taking those baby steps, getting those little wins within the game that you're probably not going to win. I think those are all good signs of, A good coach, and B, that the kids are buying into what he's doing.
Great Northern Conference, and it's been a great race at the top of the GNC. It will still be a great race going into the final week. Two of the three teams that were tied for first met last week in Tomahawk, and those Tomahawk hatchets just keep on rolling. They defeat Merrill 24-3. Tomahawk 7-1, 5-1 in the conference. Merrill 5-3. They had their four-game win streak end. They're 4-2 in the conference. Tegan Sarazin, 137 yards rushing on 15 carries with a touchdown. Kanan Yonke, 70 yards rushing on 12 attempts for Merrill. Hunter Opera at 11 tackles, 3 for a loss, and a sack for Merrill as well. Only 6 of 18 passing was Merrill. And defensively, that's been one of the things for Tomahawk this year. Their defense, they gave up no points defensively against Rhinelander earlier. They only gave up, even in the game they lost, 21 to Mosinee. Defense has really been the key for Tomahawk this year.
Yeah, I know. It was a close one with East, too. Low scoring for both teams in that one.
10 points they gave up that night.
Yeah.
And scored 4 defensively.
I think if we recapped, recreational purposes only, if we'd have done some preseason polls and rankings and all and where we expected it to be at the end of the year, I would say this is probably one of the biggest stories that we'd be talking about and are talking about right now is Tomahawk started hot. If you'd looked at their schedule and circled who we thought they'd win or lose or compete, second year in this conference, by far the smallest school, can they compete? And I think they've done exactly that. And I think that's probably the best way of describing them. They compete. They play tough defense. They're hard-nosed. And they're lost to Mosinee, one-score game. I mean, it's not like they got blown out in that one either. So I think they've got a lot to be proud of up there. And I think that they're in a really good spot as they head into the end of the season and then the postseason.
And it shows, again, I think, what winning can do. And I think with Dewey Riley, his winning on the ice and now winning on the football field, there's got to be a winning mentality that's probably helping this team as well.
Yeah, I think that consistency, we talked with him about it when he was here, that he's also their head hockey coach. A lot of these kids play both of those sports, so the kids know what to expect. They know what's expected of them as far as from a coaching standpoint, what practice needs to look like every day, what the expectation is on Friday nights. So yeah, good things are happening there right now, and they got a lot to be proud of.
And they're number 3 actually in this week's whatever you call these things,
yeah.
preliminary qualifying database, whatever yep. you want to call it, but number three in Division Five, so they could be in a pretty good position when the playoffs begin next week. Mosinee is red hot. They have just been playing some really good football recently. They rolled past Antigo 41-0. They are still in a tie for first with Tomahawk at 5-1 in the conference, 6-2 overall. Treve Stoffel, 10 of 11, 134 yards and a touchdown as well, added 137 yards on the ground on 10 carries with three scores. But Mosinee, they just seem to be building and building and building as the season's going on.
Yeah, kind of a little bit of ebbs and flows early with the great win against Stratford. And I noticed this when I was looking at the rankings last night or the night before as well, that their one loss is to a Menasha team. And Menasha's a 6-2 football team who plays in a really tough conference too. So that Mosinee's one loss was against a really good football team. So
and Lakeland, actually. They lost to Lakeland early.
Oh, that is correct.
That's their one conference loss.
That is correct.
Back when Lakeland was not as banged up.
Was rolling and not banged up, yeah. So I think Mosinee's healthy, which is something they really struggled with last year. Obviously, we know a player like Treve Stoffel plays such a big role in everything they do on both sides of the ball. I think their ability to run and pass the ball makes them a tough opponent right now. So I think for them, it's to continue to build confidence, stay healthy, and keep it rolling.
Wausau East is still alive for a playoff berth. They defeat Lakeland by a score of 24-10 on Saturday in a game that we had here on 98.9 WXCO. Ian Stahl, 153 yards rushing, a touchdown reception, and also returned a fumble for a score for East. But for East, big win. And for Lakeland, they are banged up badly. And I don't know. I've not, again, been around this for quite a while. You've been around this for quite a while. It seems like, I don't know whether it's more or less, but it seems like a lot of teams really are struggling with injuries right now.
Yeah, and I think oftentimes your top players can match up against another team's top players, and all is good. We talked about this a lot with Mosinee last year. I think what injuries do is really expose your depth or lack thereof it. And I think that's probably what we're seeing with Lakeland right now. Obviously a really hot start, looking good. You lose those guys. From what I wasn't at the game, but I listened to it. It sounded like their quarterback was really struggling to deliver the football and kind of handle the football. Those three consecutive turnovers in the third quarter really, really certainly did not help their case, because it was a pretty close game. It was 6-3 halftime, right?
Yep.
Yeah. And we know that Lakeland is a solid team this year, but sometimes those injuries are just too difficult to overcome.
Yeah, they started 4-0. Now they've lost three of their last four. And Medford is right back. It looks like Medford I can't say for sure because they have a tough game coming up this week, but Medford kept their playoff hopes alive with a win at Rhinelander, 42-12. Both teams are 3-5 overall. Medford 3-3 in the conference. Likely that will get them in the postseason. Rhinelander 2-4 puts themselves in the position they have to win this week to be potentially in. Carson Ingersoll, 110 yards rushing, four touchdowns. Will Wolchek, 103 yards and a touchdown for Medford. They did Medford things, 275 yards rushing as a team. And the thing that kind of jumped out was it was 30-0 at halftime, 42-0 after three. Was not expecting that.
Yeah. I mean, we've talked about it all year. I think a lot of it comes down to matchups. Apparently, obviously, they're still able to run the football, and I think that's a huge part. So what your defense is able to do, what your defense looks like at the line of scrimmage is going to make a big difference when you play Medford. I think what will get them moving forward. I mean, the other positive for them is we've talked all year about how young they are, how many sophomores are playing. And now when you get to week nine, those sophomores aren't so young anymore, right? They're battle-tested and heading in the right direction. So that's definitely a plus for them. It's hard to win in the playoffs if you're both young and one-dimensional. And I think that's kind of what's getting them a little bit. They fall behind. It's hard to catch up running the football, and they do seem to still struggle to throw the football. So should be an interesting game against Mosin. We'll talk a lot more about that later, but definitely probably a little bit of a tall hill to climb.
CWC Large, it was the game this season in that conference. And Stratford, boy, you thought maybe some teams were going to be able to get them this year. Started off with a couple losses, had a scare against Wittenberg, Burnhamwood early, but it looks like Stratford has found that next gear because they've been playing great football recently. And they went into Amherst and won 34-21, handing Amherst their first loss overall this season. Stratford 6-2, 6-0 in the conference. Amherst 7-1, 5-1. And they went back to some old-fashioned power football with Brooks Vanderhoof, 35 carries, 259 yards, and three touchdowns. When Brady Burke passed, he was efficient, 5 of 7, 96 yards and a touchdown. But you look at it. I mean, you thought, uh-oh, Stratford's maybe vulnerable. No, they really weren't.
Yeah, it's almost kind of odd to talk about it, right? We're talking about Stratford and how they're really stepping up at the end of the season. We're talking about a team that just won three consecutive state championships, and I understand a lot of those kids left, brand new head coach. Yeah. So definitely there was a transition period at the beginning of the year, and there's a lot of challenges ahead of them, right? Ending the season and then heading into the playoffs. They're certainly not the battle-tested playoff team they've been in the past, but this too, I think this speaks to, it felt like Amherst had kind of taken this conference maybe a little bit with their early games and the scores we were seeing. It seemed like maybe they were going to run away with this one. So great job for Stratford. And at 7-1, good wake-up call for Amherst in week 8 and gives them the opportunity to finish strong and head into the playoffs with a fairly high seed, I would think.
But I want to talk about later when we talk about this week's games. But Amherst, the last three games, actually, it's been in this kind of
– right.
It's been something that's been a little different. We'll talk about that a little bit later on. Huge win for Marathon. Marathon looks like they're heading to the playoffs. They beat Wittenberg Burnwood 20-14. Both teams are 4-4, 3-3 in the conference. Wittenberg came out, jumped out to a 14-0 lead after one, but that was it offensively for the Chargers. Truthers, 10 of 19, 84 yards and a touchdown, 20 rushes, 62 yards and a pair of touchdowns. Garrett Bracewell, 6 catches, 42 yards and a score. Bo Davis, 3 of 9 for only 10 yards passing. Caden Yeager, 7 rushes, 54 yards for Wittenberg. Neither team had a lot of yards in this game. It was a defensive battle, but boy, what a biggest win for Marathon, I think, in a couple of years.
Yeah, it kind of makes me, too, without knowing a lot about the game, that maybe some turnovers, right? Maybe some short fields, and that explains some of the lower numbers offensively. But great job. I mean, we had Coach Ninkalan a couple weeks ago and said a lot of really good things, and young coach and a new culture and new program, and it sounded like things were heading in the right direction, but you weren't sure if they were going to be able to tally up enough wins to get into the playoffs this year. Obviously, nothing's guaranteed yet, but it sure does seem like they've put themselves in a good position and a great jumping off point, finishing strong, see what the playoff matchup ends up being, but also a great opportunity for them as they head into the offseason with a lot of confidence.
Wyawega Fremont beats Loyal Greenwood 35-22. So Loyal Greenwood started 4-0, and they're now 4-4. They're 2-4 in the conference, and they have a massive challenge this week. We'll talk about later to get into the playoffs. But Wyawega keeps their playoff hopes alive. Carter Bertieshaw, 10 rushes, 185 yards, 2 touchdowns. Colton Sandelier, 22 rushes, 111 yards, and a touchdown for Loyal. But this conference, this kind of game is indicative of what this conference is about, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. And I think we talked about this year after year because it kind of was happening in the Great Northern the last few years, too. It's how your schedule lines up, right? Like there's some wins early. And I think the Loyal Greenwood's a good football team. I think they've competed. They've won some games people wouldn't have thought they were. Yep. Competed hard in some others. But ultimately, when these bigger, I don't know if it's bigger with the co-op, what their numbers are, but when these traditional games that they've had really big challenges in, they've been more competitive, but at the end of the day, they haven't been able to overcome in those tough games.
Spencer Columbus makes it 2 wins in a row. They beat Colby 43-12, and Spencer Columbus gets to the 500 mark at 4-4, 3-3 in the conference. Jack Haper at 257 yards rushing on 29 attempts with 3 touchdowns for Spencer Columbus, and it's been a team that's been ultra competitive all year. Now they're starting to get some rewards for some of these good performances with wins, and it looks like they're heading to the playoffs.
Yeah, really, really nice overall season for them. I would say a nice step in the right direction. And on the other side of that, what a tough season for Colby. Obviously, we've talked so good. Right. I mean, such tradition. I'm certainly not used to this type of season. We talked earlier about how sounds like there was quite a few injuries there. But either way, those are tough. And we're not just talking about being 1-7, 0-6, losing 43-12 to Spencer Columbus is not something we'd expect out of a Colby team.
Merrillwood CWC, Edgar stays perfect, beating Pacelli 42-0. Maverick Butt only had 6 carries but had 94 yards, had 9 tackles on defense. Bryce Flaker, 44 yards gained on the ground for Pacelli, but Edgar just strangling teams defensively.
Yeah, and that's the recipe to win in the regular season and keep those defensive stats where you want them, and also a great recipe heading into the postseason and looking for their third state championship in a row.
Auburndale just keeps on winning, beating Assumption 41-6, 7-1, 5-1 in the conference for the Eagles. Assumption 2-6, 2-4. Peyton Weinfurter, 6-7, 105 yards and 3 touchdowns, added 84 yards on just 4 attempts on the ground. Wiley Cornwell, 14 rushes, 53 yards for the Royals. Auburndale has been really good recently. They had that big shutout win against Abbotsford. They look like they're playing some good football.
Yeah, they sure do. I think they're kind of setting themselves up for a nice seed in the playoffs as well as another good playoff run. Assumption, we talked about it early, have shown some really good signs of life for a program that's switching over next year, correct?
Yep.
So kind of early signs of life, but when they hit that tough patch of the schedule too, kind of a reminder that that's where their program's at, and probably a good choice for them.
I'm guessing they're going to make the playoffs, though, because they get a forfeit this week. Third conference win, so I guess, you know, again, not necessarily.
Right.
But most of the 3-win teams now get in.
Yep.
So we'll wait and see. They don't play this week, so they're literally waiting. They didn't make it up, so. But Pittsville beat Iola 58-34. Pittsville 3-5, 3-3 in the conference. Looks like they're heading back to the playoffs. Iola struggling this year, 2-6, 1-5. Dawson Luther cracked the 1,000 yard mark for the season. Had 279 yards on 19 carries with 3 touchdowns. He's had a couple of massive games in recent weeks, hasn't he?
Yeah, he's had a great season. I would say Pittsville got to be pretty,
they started really
pretty
bad.
I was going to say pretty pleased with where they're at, and Iola Scandinavia on the other side probably feels like they took maybe a step backwards this year. Who knows, right? We talk all the time about injuries. Some teams we know more about than others, but tough season for them.
And finally, an 8-player, Newman Catholic finishes their regular season 5-3, falling to 6-2 Tri-County, 34-12. Tri-County ran the ball, 414 yards rushing as a team. Jake McCarrick had 231 yards on 18 carries and a pair of scores. Freshman Eli Fite had 12 rushes, 63 yards for Newman. Everett Pent returned from injury, and he was busy. 13 tackles, 2 fumble recoveries, including a touchdown for the Newman Cardinals. And again, for Newman, that's been in their losses, the rush defense, and when they face some bigger, and they're not a big team. That's generally, I mean, they're not big in numbers, they're not big in size. And the Cardinals, I think, really been solid at 5-3. But boy, sometimes when they get some of those big rushers, it's been kind of difficult.
Yeah, and I don't know. This would be a good conversation to have with Coach Mickleg.
We're gonna get him eventually.
Yeah, good conversation to have with him. Kind of like that is tough. I mean, I know in 11-man football and being a defensive guy, what it is when whether it's an option team and they get that fullback rolling and how hard it is to slow that down, but what an even bigger challenge is in an eight man field with the smaller box up front and then the fewer number of linemen, that's got to be once that ball starts rolling downhill, that's got to be tough to stop.
Yeah, that's exactly right. But the Cards will be again in the playoffs as they continue to be one of only two teams in 8-player football that's made the playoffs each and every year when it's come to the 8 players since WIAA. And I said returning, Everett Pent was not the one. It was Damien that actually returned last week. So Damien still had a good game as well coming back. So, but we'll have more on Newman and their playoff run a little bit later in the show. Coming up later in the show, we'll look ahead to week 9 of the 8-player, I should say the 11-player regular season. Look at the 8-player brackets for the playoffs at 7:06. It will be our student-athlete guest, again, Cooper DePoit from Wausau West. And coming up next, we will talk to the head football coach of the D.C. Everest Evergreens. Second year in a row, they're going to have at least a share of the conference championship. And we'll talk to Braden Mitchell coming up next. With Jason Foster, I'm Chad Holmes. Back in a minute here on 98.9 WXCO.
Wednesday from 6 till 8 p.m., it's the Big High School Sports Show on 98.9 WXCO. Online at WXCO.fm. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. I'm Chad Holmes, joining former Wausau West head football coach Jason Foster and myself as we talk high school football. We'll review week number 8 of the season, preview week number 9, and preview level 1 playoffs in 8-player football, plus special guests. At 6:30, we'll be joined by Braden Mitchell, the D.C. Everest football coach, after the Evergreens clinched at least a share of the Wisconsin Valley Conference title with their win at Stevens Point last week. Then at 7:06 is our student athlete guest from Wausau West, running back Cooper DePoit. DePoit had more than 260 yards rushing in the Warriors' win over Eau Claire Memorial last week. It's the Big High School Sports Show, Wednesday, 6 till 8 p.m. on 98.9 WXCO, WXCO.FM. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app.
And welcome back, Big High School Sports Show on 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.FM, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. And you can join us on YouTube, youtube.com, and the 98.9 WXCO channel as well. With Jason Foster, I'm Chad Holmes, and very happy to welcome in our coach guest for this week from DC Everest, Braden Mitchell. Coach, great to see you again.
Appreciate you guys having me.
Absolutely. I'm going to ask a question to start off that has nothing to do with actually what happened in terms of the X's and O's and everything else that went on last week. But I went to DC Everest a long time ago.
Yep.
And I saw that last week the helmets for DC Everest had DCE on, the classic look from the old days.
Yep.
Explain.
I mean, that logo's been floating around a little bit. And in the off season we talked about, hey, wouldn't it be cool for homecoming to kind of throw on some throwback? And, Coach Kunin, Coach Johnson, and Coach Vang had to spend probably about 4 or 5 hours on a Saturday morning redoing all those. So appreciate those guys. But, yeah, they looked phenomenal. A lot of alumni were very appreciative. A handful, like, hey, how much do I have to pay for one of those? Like, but, yeah, it was really cool. And I think they've looked great, and we've kind of been rolling with them so far.
I saw that post. I thought they looked awesome as well. And I love you hit it on the head of the comments underneath the post where there was a lot of, yeah, we should keep them in Nuba all the time. And then we should get our, what do they want back? The gold?
Bring
back the gold pants back too. I'm like, boy, they've
nostalgia
kind of
never goes
worms here a little bit.
That's right. Yep. We still have our 7th and 8th grade still a rock in the gold pants.
Nice.
Yep.
Well, let's talk about the game last week to begin with, because that was such a big game in the Wisconsin Valley Conference. It's been a big game in the WVC for as long as I can remember. And last year you had a classic against Stevens Point over at Steam. And that last week you went down to Gerke and won the football game by 2 scores and really carried the football game. Number one, you have to be exceptionally proud of your team bouncing back after a loss against Chippewa 2 weeks ago. But to go into Stevens Point and win the football game in that way, that's a pretty big statement for your guys, isn't it?
Yeah, for sure. The Chippewa Falls game, that was, again, 2 years in a row where they've kind of just taken advantage of every opportunity, and we've given them plenty of opportunities. We talked a lot about being able to bounce back, being able to respond. That's what this game teaches you about life. And they did a heck of a job. Our players knew the moment. We harped on it. It had been a long time since DC Everest had won down there. And so that was a focus. Being able to go back-to-back conference champs was a focus. Like, there was a lot of things that, we knew what was at stake, and our guys did a heck of a job with it.
Yeah, and the last 2 years, it's worked out obviously really well for you guys.
Yes,
but from an outside fan perspective, the way the schedule's set up too, that this game is week 8 and for all intents and purposes, that is the conference championship game. So that being able to go down there and do it. The thing that stuck out to me when I look at the stats is, and you can answer the question obviously and do it, but it seems like watching week to week, like Ty Rohde's progression, like it seemed like this was his best week statistically. Obviously, we all know what an incredible weapon Xavier is. So talk a little bit about that, because you'd had so much success running the ball, especially at times when it seemed like that's what you needed to do to win games, and having a young quarterback with inexperience. So are those things kind of all coming together right now?
Absolutely. Yeah, again, scheduling plays into that, and we've been fortunate in that, we had to be able to run the ball early and get Ty used to the game, used to the speed. And I think he's done a heck of a job of each week just getting better and better. And it's been fun for me because, in the last few years of coaching, like I've had either junior or senior that has been really good. quarterbacks, and even coming in this year, Jake was going to be really good, and we were getting to a good part with him. But just to kind of get back to some basics and get back to some fundamentals, footwork and different things, it's kind of been fun to, you know, it reminds me of my early years of coaching and really getting work with sophomores. But, I mean, Ty's an unbelievable athlete, you know, mentally, him playing all, you know, as a freshman, playing baseball all year last year, I think definitely helps him in that, you know, he's not afraid of the moment at all. And but, yeah, we kind of had to change up our offense a little bit just to get him ready and get him going. And fortunately, we have some great offensive linemen up front, and Corbin has been doing a heck of a job running the ball, and then we've been able to supplement that with some other guys.
And then having somebody like Xavier in there too, right? Like, he's coming in. I mean, good thing for him. Not that it would have mattered, because people know what an athlete he is. But kind of having him, knowing we had him as our first guest of the year, that what his plan was already set before the season started, probably assisted in him being a little more. I mean, he's had his big plays, it seems like, each and every week, but kind of a little bit more of a breakout stat-wise this week, a few more receptions. But how has he been with I don't want to say diminished role, because I'm sure he still has a huge role on your team and will moving forward. But what has his role been in bringing along the young quarterback and being unselfish? I assume that those are the things that have made a big difference as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And yeah, definitely his senior year has been shifted with how the season's gone. But he's a competitor. Kid loves to compete, wants to do one-on-ones all the time. But he's a competitor. And so, yeah, when he's not getting opportunities or not getting the ball, like, it's frustrating. But he's done a good job, and I keep pushing him, like, hey, it's just about building that relationship with Ty, getting more and more routes with him. But yeah, I mean, the conference still knows what he's capable of, you know, and each week there's going to be, you know, they have to double cover him. They have to send their best DB to him, which has allowed other guys to step up because of that. And, you know, that first week against West, they were not going to let Xavier get over the top. And so it allowed us to be able to run the ball a little bit more. And you know, it's as a former quarterback, as a guy that loves to throw the ball, it's been a little tougher for me to hold back, but that's why I have three offensive line coaches to help me do that.
Along that same line, that meant that, you know, Corbin Enzenroth, what I was looking at, he has 180 carries, and there's been probably a few games where you've had the game in hand, so you haven't had to use them that much late in the game. And I remember that game against West, it just pound, pound, pound. It's you're trying to get off the field, it was not a good sight. But he really has stepped into this role this year, has some pretty big shoes to fill, obviously, from a year ago, but how would you take his year? What did you expect maybe at the start, and then being asked to run the ball maybe even a little bit more than expected, his trajectory so far this year?
Yeah, I think he showed great glimpses when he fill in last year for Blake, and then we also had reframed that we felt really good about our running game. You know, it wasn't going to be just the Blake Bankston show, it was going to be kind of both of those guys. And Reed was banged up a little bit throughout the early part of the year and then got hurt. And his season is done now. But so Corbin's taken on that, and he's done a heck of a job. He's a different running back than Blake, but very patient, does a heck of a job of waiting for things to develop, and then stays in the A-gap and gets going. So he's done really well, and, he gets the ball in the end zone. That's where he's been good. And he's a little banged up right now too, so it kind of, you know, we got as much as we could out of him down at Stevens Point, and then but he'll be back, make a playoff run.
Kind of comparing, and you've talked about it a lot already, but it's been very different, right? Like, back-to-back conference championships, but done very differently. Yeah. Like, so talk a little bit about who else then has had to step up, like, from a leadership standpoint. Obviously, beating Spash for that is awesome. Going to their house and holding them to 13 points, obviously defense have played a big role in what you've accomplished to this point as well.
For sure, yeah. Our defense has been playing lights out. You know, right now, our D coordinator might get mad at me for saying it, but, like, he's been doing a heck of a job, and we've been keeping the conference really low. I think we've got a shot to keep the conference under 50, you know, if we get it done this week. And I think that's a testament to the amount of work that they put in. You know, Kleinschmidt is our D coordinator, and that whole staff, just timeless, putting in work and watching film and just really doing a great job with that. And then getting kids to buy in. I think that's tough to do. But our defensive players have done a heck of a job buying into that and, you know, dedicating the time to it. And then, you know, football, like, when you get 11 guys to rally to the ball, it's intimidating. It's tough. And then, you're able to play really good defense, and I think that's where our defense has been trajectory, you know, heading in that right direction this whole season. So they're doing a heck of a job.
Again, we're talking to Braden Mitchell, the head football coach at DC Evers Senior High School here on 98.9 WXCO. And sometimes when coaches say, well, all 11 players go into the football, it can be a little bit of a cliche, but your defense is not based around one superstar. This is really a defense that has so many players that have stepped up. Who are some of those guys that have really stepped up? And maybe to start off, is there anybody in that group that has maybe surprised in some sort of way?
I mean, I think a big part of it is at the D-line with Brad Rickert. You know, he's been a guy that, you know, since his sophomore year, he's been a guy that should be playing well, and but he's had to battle through some injuries. Last year only made it through a few games. So he's stepped up. The fact that we've been able to get as much out of him as we have, and he's been one that stepped up as a big leader. You know, losing the guys that we lost last year, we needed that. That was a big hole, and he's done a great job with that. You know, our linebackers continue to get better and better. Again, another kid that's been playing for, you know, since he was a sophomore, Carson Kemp, had his best game this last week. Just did a heck of a job of buying into it and doing his job. And then on the back end, we got, you know, Silas Weber, who's been kind of the leading force as a safety and having to play in the box a lot, which, you know, coming into the year, he was more of a ball hawk type of guy, but he's done a great job filling in the box. And then Asa Martins continues to improve and get better each week and, you know, developed into kind of our shutdown corner.
And that's what kind of sticks out to me. You mentioned those guys. And we still talk about the great running game, the development to Ty, how great Xavier is. But kind of what stuck out to me watching the West game live and in some of these other games too is the line play, right? Yeah. You kind of talked a little bit about the D-line, probably some other guys there as well, but just how consistent the offensive line was, like whether it's pass protection, whether it's protecting a young quarterback moving around or getting those yards. Like there's been enough over the course of the season, but a lot of them have been long drives, right? Yeah. Like getting those first downs, 2-3 plays, big, getting those 5-6 yards on first down, which allows you to do some other thing. Who are those guys on the offensive line that have played such a big role in what you do this year?
Yeah, I mean, it starts at right guard and right tackle with Carson Zesch and Will White. Those two have been phenomenal. And then at center, Billy Schwartz has done a great job of just leading that group, getting everybody in the right spot. Our left guard started 13 games last year as a freshman, Chris Ferrario. He's just so consistent, so solid. And then Jordan Plouts has stepped in at left tackle for us this year and has done a great job. Just if he gets his hands on you, he's driving you, he's moving you. So those five have done a great job. And yeah, it's made the transition of bringing on a sophomore quarterback a lot easier, being able to do that. And yeah, like, one of our goals each game is to have four drives of eight or more plays. And last year we didn't hit that goal very often. But this year we've done a lot better with that. I think to start last game, you know, we had a 14 play drive that ate up 8.5 minutes. So I think that's, you know, to be able to do that, to take that much time, I think it's tough on the other end of, you know, now coaches are thinking, hey, we got to score quick because we don't know how many possessions we're going to get. So, again, it's been a little bit of a difference for me in my mindset going into it, but I want to win games, and these guys are doing that.
And obviously you guys have had a great playoff run last year, so what you did last year worked really well too. But I've always kind of been a proponent or a believer in the fact that what you just described there, I think, is a great recipe for playoff success as well. The ability to possess the ball, take care of the ball, have those drives, and really put the defense back on its heels, I think plays a huge role as you head into the postseason as well.
Yeah, and I think it's helped our defense, you know, to give them time to be rested, make adjustments and stuff. And I think, you know, then we see when we can get up that we can get after the quarterback.
The mental aspect, because Coach mentioned, yeah, that great playoff run where you won on the road 3 times in a row to get to the state semifinal. This year to have the River Falls loss and the Triple Falls loss. I mean, those are tough losses where you have to kind of go back to the locker room and reassess, and your team has been able to bounce back. Is there something in the water over there that allows this group, both the group last year and this group, to be able to handle maybe a little adversity? Because it looks like your team has done a really nice job in some adverse situations.
Yeah, I don't know exactly the reason for it. I think, you know, there's always, it's always easier to to refocus and to, you know, get back to it after a loss. You know, sometimes after you win games, you let some things slide, or maybe, you know, when coaches harping you on these little things, it's like, hey, why does it matter? We just won. But yeah, after a loss, those things are a lot more glaring, and the mistakes that you see throughout those wins, they show up a lot bigger in the losses. And so I think, you know, in both years, that Chippewa Falls loss has kind of refocused us, allowed us to kind of, hey, this is what works for us. We got to get back to that. And, you know, after last week, I think we saw that helped. But yeah, I think our guys do a really good job of being able to be in the moment. And that's something that takes time to get to it, and being able to learn from mistakes and get better from it.
I think, too, when you talk about Chippewa Falls, I think uncommon opponent, right? Like, yep. when you prepare for those in-conference opponents, you know what I mean? You're just building on from year to year. You guys have played Chippewa Falls quite a bit, but it's not a conference opponent, so it's a little different. Home and away makes a big difference. But when you talk about a team like River Falls, like, yeah, River Falls, the D2 team, and everyone, all of a sudden you look at the rankings and they're at, what, three seed in Division II? I mean, they're just steamrolling right now. So I guess that leads me into my question too. The conference, like the east side, the west side, kind of. And at the end of the day, I'm not sure how much difference it makes. I think we could look on paper and say that the west seems to be a little tougher or stronger this year. I think when you get to the playoffs, for team by team, anything can happen. But talk a little bit about your three games on that side, the two non-conference and the one crossover, versus what you've seen in Wisconsin Valley Conference this year. What are some strengths and challenges for both?
Yeah, I think that side is doing a heck of a job, and I think it's seen in all of the crossover games. You know, after those first two games, I think our conference had, what, two wins?
Yeah.
Like, they're doing
a great
job.
Thanks to Superior for the month.
Yeah. Or maybe three, yeah. But, yeah, I think, you know, they've got some really talented kids. They got some really good programs. I think what Rice Lake's been able to do year in and year out, you know, like, he does a great job with those guys. And just as a program, doesn't matter what they're running or anything, but, like, they do a great job. I think River Falls is doing a great job. They got some great athletes up front and, you know, offensively and defensively. New Richmond's been solid. So, yeah, and Hudson has been great. Yeah, I think they're, you know, Chippewa Falls had been, you know, coming in. I think they had two wins or something. But I kept telling the guys, hey, they've lost to the same teams that we lost to. Like, it's not like they're losing to any bad teams. They're really good. They're just in a really tough conference. So, yeah, I think that conference is really good and really up right now. And, fortunate for us, like, it's just Hudson is the only D1 team that's over there, so because like all those other guys we won't have to see. But yeah, and I think our conference, this probably wasn't the best year for our conference as a whole, but I think, you know, a lot of teams lost a lot of seniors last year, and so it was kind of figuring some things out across the board. And you know, I think teams are gonna be back again even better next year. So
I think the one final thought on that too is, and I think this happened last year, I think for the most part that argument could have been made maybe around this time last year, and then I think the scripts got switched. All the first round playoff games were really close. You guys obviously ran through it and made it to the semis. I think part of it has to do too with where those, like, a lot of those games are played early in the season, and I think that makes a big difference. I think the growth a team shows over the season, I think speaks to kind of the run you guys went on last year and some of that too. So I think those things all factor into those win-loss records and crossovers, those two non-conference games being 1 and 2 before school even starts, I think plays a role.
Yeah. Building on that, you have work to do Friday against Eau Claire Memorial, but then looking a little bit ahead, I'm not going to ask you way too far ahead, but do you feel like your team is in a good spot to do something special like you did last season, that you learned those lessons the hard way maybe in some of those games, but last season you went over and faced one of those Big River squads on the road and really impressed in that level one game? Do you feel like this team has that feel going towards the playoffs? And I guess on top of that, what are the things that are most important for this team to maybe be a little bit better at to make another run in the playoffs?
Yeah, I think that, you know, coming off of that Chippewa Falls game, I probably wouldn't have said yes, but I think their ability and our ability to get right and get things back on track, I think shows, you know, what good teams are able to do is be able to bounce back. And then, you know, in all different leagues, the playoffs that are about, you know, where you're at and getting hot at the right time. And I think, you know, the biggest emphasis this week has been, hey, stay on track, right? Don't slip. Don't fall back to anything. We have to keep moving, keep getting better. So I think that this Friday will be a huge push for, hey, how does this thing look as we head into the playoffs and go from there? But yeah, we got to be sharp. But then, yeah, I think you get in the playoffs and you start playing teams that, you know, you're not as familiar with and stuff. And some of those things can benefit you if you spend some time and find some things out. I think, you know, there's other conferences that there's really good team in one conference, but the rest of their conference is down a little bit. And so you catch some teams that maybe haven't had to play in many close games. So, yeah, that's what's fun about the playoffs is it's a totally different dynamic from the regular season.
I think talking about the conference a little bit too this year, the records certainly don't show it, but from the amount of games that I watch live and a little bit on film, it does seem like Eau Claire North and Eau Claire Memorial have taken a step in the right direction. I mean, obviously they're not where they want to be, but Eau Claire North definitely still has some athletes and has stayed competitive in games, gave Marshfield a tough game last week.
Yeah.
And the games that Eau Claire Memorial's been able to keep close, they've competed all the way through. I think once they get down by a couple touchdowns, the wheels kind of come off their bus. But overall, they seem like a well-coached team that has taken steps in the right direction this year.
For sure. I think, yeah, those guys, I think, have gotten better. I think Rapids has gotten better. Yeah. I think that, you know, there's a lot of different factors that go into it. How many kids you're getting out, you know, the group that you have each year. But that's what's fun about high school is, like, in 2 or 3 years, everything can flip if you can get the right things going. And so, but, yeah, I think Eau Claire North was tough, and they – that stadium now that they have, it was a cool little atmosphere that they had, and they got some sweet light shows that go on. And but yeah, I think those schools are getting better. I think that, you know, those staffs are working their butts off and working hard to improve and get better. But yeah, it is where it is.
We only got a few minutes left. I wanted to ask you, since we were talking, you know, we can look and see these preliminary qualifying reports and the changes. And I remember last season, there's a little bit of miffed folks around here in terms of some of the seating. What's your take about where we are now, maybe compared to what it was a year ago? Are you happy to have these, you know, rankings to be able to look at right now, and everybody else sees it as well, and generally the changes that are being made to, in terms of the seating?
Yeah, I think we'll have a little less shock on Saturday. that was wild. I do think, like, the change, I was all for the change. I think it's good, and it, you know, it'll create a good 32 that get in. I think on the previous system, we probably would be a higher seed because of our, you know, taking into account last success and all that stuff. But I think it's pretty fitting when you start looking at it. Like, I think those schools down, you know, in the Classic 8 and that area and stuff, I think those, you know, they're playing really good football. It's really good. The FVA is really good. So yeah, it doesn't surprise me that where we're at, I think we're right on the bubble of a 4 or 5 seed. So yeah, I mean, if we take care of business this week, then, you know, we've been pushing for a home playoff game. I think it'd be
awesome.
I was
going to say, how big would it be after playing all those games on the road last year to play at Steam?
Yeah, I think it would be awesome. I think, you know, the community support that we get, even for just any home game, I think, you know, you multiply that for a playoff game, I think it would be awesome. There is part of me that I do enjoy the road games, because once you get on the bus, there's like
distraction, yep. Right?
Yes.
Coaches, yep. that's the word you want to take away. Take away the distraction.
Far less thinking once you get on the bus and you can just, you know, sit there for 3 hours and, hey, whatever I brought with me is what I got. Like,
right. I think that's a great point. I think whichever way you go, you're good, right? I saw some drone footage from your homecoming game the other week, and holy cow, like the number of people. I mean, it was pretty awesome. What a great – and at the end of the day, I'll speak for myself, but I think it's pretty common. I hate homecoming football games, right? Like, I mean, it's great for the kids. It's part of their lifelong memories, so all that's good, except that, yeah, there's a lot going on that week, and who knows what role that plays in the Chippewa Falls game or whatever. Yep. Plus, if it flips the other way and you end up being a 5 versus a 4, you definitely have a blueprint, right?
Yeah,
like, you definitely can bring that group together and say, hey, here we go again.
And we've been here.
We got about a minute to go. Any final question for Coach?
No, I don't think I have another question. Okay. I guess you always end up. So just congratulations on another great season.
Appreciate it.
Winning a conference championship in this conference is tough. So back-to-back's a heck of an accomplishment. And to do it so differently, I think, is great. So great job. Keep up the good work. And we're excited to see another playoff run from you.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Well, last year we had you around this time, and then we brought you back because you guys just kept on playing.
that's the goal is to get back here again.
Hey, thanks again, Coach, and good luck against Memorial. Good luck in the playoffs.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
We're going to take a timeout for the top of the hour news update. We'll have news, weather, and sports, and then come back with hour number two. We'll look ahead to week number 9 of the 11-player season, look at the 8-player brackets, look at the matchups. But coming up next will be our student-athlete guest coming off a, 264-yard effort last week. From Wausau West, Cooper DePoint. He'll be our student athlete guest coming up here on the Big High School Sports Show on 98.9 WXCO.
Listening to Bull Falls Radio, WXCO 1230 AM, W255 DN Wausau, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is the CBS News World News Roundup Late Edition, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Cammie McCormick. President Trump today ratcheted up the pressure on Venezuela over drug trafficking and other issues.
We've almost totally stopped it by sea. Now we'll stop it by land.
What's the next step?
But it never worked. It never worked when you did it in a very politically correct manner.
CBS's Ed O'Keefe on what that may mean.
There's no evidence as of now that there are plans for land operations. We do know, though, that the deployment of at least 6,000 U.S. forces across the Caribbean Sea area and the operations that have been carried out in recent weeks to take out those alleged boats. Drug boats are significant, certainly for this region of the world, and suggest there could be more to come.
And the president has authorized covert CIA activities in Venezuela. Analyst Steve Elner.
I wonder to what extent this news item